Good morning and welcome to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti, your estate planning and legal concierge. This morning we're going to discuss why it's important for everybody to have an estate plan. Now I'm going to start by saying most people will say to me, look, I'm not independently wealthy. I don't have $20, $30, $40, $100 million. I don't need an estate plan. And this is probably where I most disagree with the everyday person. Let's look at it this way. If you have $20 million and you don't have an appropriate estate plan, what's the worst that can happen for your beneficiaries? Well, they may lose a couple extra $100,000 in taxes, the cost of probate, the time associated with it. But in the grand scheme of things, most people's wish is for their estate or for their kids or their loved ones, the next of kin, to inherit what they've worked so very hard for their entire lives. So what happens if, you know, Susie and Joey lose $2 million? They still have $18 million. That's a lot of money. For the everyday person, I think of my parents. You know, my dad was a local city fireman here in Pittsburgh, and my mom was a computer programmer. And they are who my everyday person is. Now, with that appropriate planning in place, what's the worst that can happen? Well, their kids or their who's inheriting their stuff. The time, the cost associated with settling their estate. 5% probate costs. You got inheritance tax now at 4.5%. We may have unnecessary income tax we have to worry about. The cost tax by itself adds up fairly quickly. Probate adds up fairly quickly. You know, I laugh and I've said, it amazes me that people will devote more time planning a vacation, what car to buy, even, you know, the plans for their anniversary, than they will when deciding who inherits their stuff once they're gone. I'm the first to admit, estate planning is not everybody's cup of tea. Who wants to think about what happens when they die or if they become ill unexpectedly and they have to go into, you know, a long-term care facility? I understand that. But without it, you can't choose. You can't determine or control who's going to get what you have worked so hard for. I've said this time and time again, just because you're married at the time of your death doesn't necessarily mean your spouse is going to inherit everything that you have. If you have children to that spouse, to a previous relationship, they get included as well. But what is, let's start the very basic, what is an estate plan? It's really just the process of planning the administration or settlement of your assets, your stuff, your property, once you pass away. Basic goals everybody should have. Avoid the confusion when it comes to what your final wishes actually are. What if you have minor kids? So I have 4-year-old twins. What if my husband and I both pass away and I don't have an estate plan? The court has no indication of what my wishes are as to who gets my kids. Who's going to take care of them for the rest of their life? Who's going to protect the money that I'm leaving for them? Because I'm the first person to admit I don't want them to get it when they're 18 or 25 for that matter. So who's going to be their legal guardian? Who's going to be the person in charge of those funds to protect it and ensure that it's invested and managed appropriately? The estate plan also helps reduce, if not eliminate, the conflict that we often see on a daily basis among family members when somebody passes. I heard it said, and I wish that I had written it down. It was a financial advisor who said, I've never seen families more fractured than I have when somebody dies. And I agreed with him. And I said, look, when death and money are involved, and it doesn't have to be a lot of money, but when death and money and things, sentimental things are involved, Christmas will never be the same. I asked a lady recently, it was a fight. Somebody died and then there was a battle between siblings. And I said to her, why can't you and your sister be in the same room? And she said, honestly, I don't remember. I haven't spoken to her in 30 years and I don't remember what that fight was even about. We want to make sure your family is not fractured by you not being proactive and making those decisions. We also want to make sure that taxes are minimized and any legal expense associated with settling your estate is minimized. For my kids, I want to make sure that any money that I do leave them is preserved and it'll continue to grow for their benefit. You also want to make sure there's flexibility in your plan. So I know that I've talked in other shows about what happens if you pass with or without a will. But if you pass away in Pennsylvania without a will, Pennsylvania's intestacy law will dictate who gets your stuff. It doesn't necessarily say who will act as the executor or the administrator, but it does say who gets what percentage, what they're entitled to. I like having more control. So I like that my kids, if I die unexpectedly, won't get a lump sum in an age I don't think that they're mature enough to receive it at. I can dictate, and I have dictated, that certain things, education, healthcare, support so that they can continue to live a normal life, will go status quo. So everything will continue as is. The person I've appointed as the trustee will make sure that their tuition is paid for. We'll make sure that they have a reasonable automobile. I tell this story and I've been telling it for years. I had a conversation with a gentleman who was raising his grandson, and it was just the two of them. And I get that nobody wants to think today or tomorrow may be their last day. But I said to him, in considering when to leave the assets to his grandson, who was 18 at the time, it may not be several million dollars and it may not be several hundred million dollars, but several hundred thousand dollars can really impact somebody, especially if they're not mature enough to inherit that money. And I said to him, you should consider leaving his share in a trust and having somebody who's appropriate manage it, invest it for him, give him an allowance or so much per quarter, per year, so he doesn't blow it. And he said, oh, Michelle, I'll deal with that later. And granted, he didn't think that his time was soon, but we don't know that. We don't know when we're done. And so unfortunately, he did pass away sooner rather than later. His grandson ended up receiving a significant amount of money, under $1 million, but at the age of 21. Now, it's no fault of the 21-year-old because he didn't know what to do with this money. And he did what most 21-year-olds would do, I think, is they'd blow it. And so rather than investing or putting it aside for his future, he bought a Bentley. Yes, he bought a Bentley. And he showed up at our office in a Bentley. And he was so proud of himself. And it's a beautiful car. I wanted to cry for his grandfather because we'd had this conversation. And it's not my job to force my clients to do this. It's just to make them aware of what can happen. And so oftentimes I tell this Bentley story because he just wasted several hundred thousand dollars. He didn't have several million left. So we have to be proactive in thinking for our beneficiaries if they can't think for themselves. Now, if they're mature people and you believe that they can manage it, then that's great. But when we're talking about somebody who doesn't have that mental capacity or a minor, you really want to think ahead. So I want to make sure that your wealth that you've worked so hard for is preserved for your intended beneficiary. I also want to make sure if you have a loved one who is currently or may receive governmental benefits in the future, that they continue to receive those benefits unhindered and they're not disqualified and they don't have to go through a reapplication process or a penalty process or pay something back. We want to make sure they get the best of all worlds. We have a lot of special needs families amongst our clients, and they think that they only have the option of leaving it to them outright and then potentially their beneficiary being disqualified or just disinheriting them. And I've heard the parents say, well, I'll just leave it to Susie because she'll take care of him if Joey's collecting benefits. Now, I'd like to think Susie's a great person and she will, in fact, take care of her brother and make sure that his needs and wishes are seen to. But legally, Susie doesn't have to do that. And quite frankly, in my experience, Susie doesn't do that. I said, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it, death and money bring out the worst in people. And it's not that they're bad people. It's that this, during the grieving process and when they see those numbers in a check and in the bank account, they necessarily don't want to give it up. Or they think that they are better suited to handle those funds. So it's important that my client be educated and know that there are other avenues when planning for a loved one with special needs. And I encourage you to tune in the future because we'll have shows just based on what happens if you have a special need loved one. But there are different ways and avenues out there that we can leave money to a special needs beneficiary and allow them to continue to receive the benefits that they're currently receiving or that they're entitled to receive in the future. If you have any questions surrounding this or any estate planning need, give us a call, 724-784-0239. We're located in Moon Township. You can reach us on our website, www.contilawpgh.com. Oftentimes, I'll have listeners who've been listening with me for years and years send me over an email and say, this is what my circumstance is. Can you please elaborate on this topic? Sure, we'll do that. Give us a call, shoot us an email. We're here to help you and to make sure you're making every possible decision that you can and that you can control. So let's go through a list of what every good estate plan should include. And that estate plan should have either your legal document that's a will or a trust that takes effect during your lifetime or upon your passing and controls who's in charge, who gets what, when they get it. But keep in mind, you should always also have powers of attorney. So we have durable powers of attorney for finance and for healthcare, your living will, and those documents take care of you during your lifetime. So you can appoint your spouse or you can appoint a child or a friend. If you become incapacitated to be in charge of your life, Pennsylvania prefers to use somebody's power of attorney over a guardianship process. And again, that's another show in and of itself. But if you don't have a power of attorney in place, then a court will get involved and have to appoint the appropriate guardian for you. But powers of attorney allow the person you've chosen, again, be it a spouse, a kid, a neighbor, to make those tough decisions for you when you can't make that decision for yourself. So it could be something as basic and easy as making sure your monthly bills are paid, making sure your taxes are filed and paid, making sure that somebody is aware of what's going on with your medical situation. So if it's you having a procedure to anything from having dementia or being in a coma, this will allow that person you've chosen to interact with the doctor, to interact with the nursing staff, the hospitals. It also allows them to be your advocate if at the end phase of your life, you have certain requests or restrictions on treatment. They will be able to ensure that your wishes are seen to. And that's very important. If you don't have that in writing, then again, a court has to get involved. And why have that unnecessary cost or delay if you don't have to? You should also have the appropriate beneficiary designations. More often than not, when I sit down with my clients, we're discussing who they have listed as beneficiaries, not necessarily in the will, maybe on a retirement account, maybe life insurance and an annuity. And whether or not they have a contingent beneficiary listed. A contingent beneficiary is a backup. So if you have your spouse listed as your primary beneficiary, what happens if they predecease you? So I have my husband Jason listed as my primary beneficiary. If he dies before me, or we die in a common accident, and I don't have my children listed as the contingent beneficiaries on that account or that policy, what happens is that asset that is non-probatable in nature, meaning because the beneficiary is designated, it goes to that beneficiary outright upon my death. Rather than that occurring, what happens is that asset transfers into what's called a probatable asset, meaning it has to go through court. It goes through that court process because you don't have another person or people listed as the backup beneficiary. That's the number one mistake I've seen. Why force an asset to go through probate if you don't have to? Because all you're doing is adding time and money to that probate process. What completely drives me mad is if we've done all of this planning. So I'll review my client's prior estate plan. And let's face it, if it doesn't need rewritten and the attorney, original attorney did a good job, way to go. Why reinvent or recreate the wheel if it's unnecessary? But when I ask the question, have you updated your beneficiaries to indicate that special needs trust you created for Joey? Or to create that special needs trust or third party trust for your spouse? What if your spouse is collecting Medicaid and you predecease them? You don't want them to be disqualified from Medicaid because they receive your quote unquote inheritance. There are proper planning techniques, and one of those is making sure the beneficiary designations are current and up to date with your goals. Another thing to consider is a letter of intent. I have a lot of clients who draft a letter of intent with respect to their wishes on anything from a minor to a special needs loved one to their tangible personal property. I have a client who she's traveled her whole life, and she has a really, really cool collection of not necessarily antiques, but things she has purchased throughout the world that she really liked. And so she doesn't have any family, but she has a whole slew of individual beneficiaries. And one of her questions to me was, if we just put, let's just say there's five beneficiaries. If we just put the five beneficiaries as beneficiaries of these things that I've accumulated, how do they figure out for themselves who gets what? And I said, well, most times they pick and choose, and then the beneficiaries have to agree. Okay, I want this statue. You can have that one. Now, if there's not sentimental value attached to it, it may not become an issue. But what if there is? So this client, Anne, I'll call her, we were discussing who she wanted to get her things. And she said, look, I'm going to make lists. I know for a fact I want these certain items to go to these certain people. I also know for a fact there's all this other stuff. And if they don't want it, that's great. Have them donate it. They could have an estate sale and donate the proceeds. They can have an estate sale and have the proceeds go into the estate, which is divided amongst these other beneficiaries. So it's things of that nature. And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be valuable stuff that you're passing on. We see the biggest fights break out when it's sentimental assets. There was a family that mom had three children to her husband. He passed away. She remarried and had a daughter with her second husband. They were all very close. The issue became mom passed. Her jewelry from her first husband, she wanted to go to her children from that spouse. Her marital jewelry from the second husband, she wanted to go to her daughter from the second husband. Fortunately, we incorporated all of that into her estate plan. The daughter from the first marriage didn't agree with mom's wishes and wanted all of the jewelry. She didn't see eye to eye with the sister from the second marriage. Things like this, the jewelry wasn't of much value, is more sentimental. And mom said, look, I know they don't get along. They're not going to see eye to eye. I want to make sure whoever I want to get my things gets them when I'm gone. And that's the role of this letter of intent. That's the role of the executor. That's the role of the attorney, to make sure your wishes are seen to. Our show's coming to an end, but I want to touch base on, and maybe I do this just because of my own circumstance with my kids being so small, but estate planning is not just for the wealthy or the old. It really isn't. I have more clients who are normal, everyday people and who have just started their life together or in the middle of that planning process. So I think it's important. What happens if you have a minor child or if you have a loved one who isn't capable of taking care of themselves or isn't capable of taking care of the things that you leave them? Why not be proactive and at least put your wishes down to say, God forbid the event that I pass away and I have these small children or I have these kids who aren't mature enough to handle what I'm leaving them. This is what I want to happen. And I've had people do this, quite frankly, with pets as well. And I have three dogs at home. And so a part of my estate plan determines who gets those living animals when I die. My kids are very close to their dogs. And so part of my contingency is whoever gets my kids, whoever I've chosen, and whoever agrees to take care of them also agrees to take care of their pets. Because let's face it, the death of a parent, especially for those who are small, it's hard for all of us. But I want as little change, as little disruption in their lives. And if that means that they keep their beloved pet, then so be it. If that means they stay in my house and I have a trust set aside to pay that mortgage so my guardian and trustee can afford it, so my kids can continue to reside there, then I will. But these are little things that we have to think about and consider when making up our estate plan. That's the end of our show today. Thank you for tuning in. And again, we encourage any questions or concerns, give us a call, schedule your complimentary consultation, 724-784-0239. I look forward to speaking with you next week. Have a good one.